All right, strap in, everyone. We're going deep on a Supreme Court case today that's a real hidden gem. Home Insurance Co. v. Dick.
Ooh, yeah, I know this one. 1930, right?
You got it. You might think, insurance dispute? Sounds kind of dry.
Yeah.
But stick with us. This one goes way deeper than just who pays for a busted tugboat. Especially if you're into, like, the whole can-of-state appliance laws thing when a contract goes international.
Absolutely. Gets right to the heart of it, really. Where does a state's power stop when a contract is made in one place but the lawsuit ends up in another? That's the question.
Exactly. And the Supreme Court, in this case, had to figure out, can Texas just override the terms of a Mexican insurance policy just because the guy making the claim is a Texan? Even the basic facts are interesting. We've got this guy, CJ Dick, Texan, working in Mexico, operating a tugboat for a Mexican company.
Setting the scene, all right.
And, of course, what happens? Disaster strikes.
Tugboat goes down.
Down it goes. Fires and everything sinks. So Dick files an insurance claim.
Makes sense.
But key thing here, this isn't some regular insurance policy. It's Mexican. Subject to Mexican law. And it's got this clause, says any lawsuit has to be filed within 1 year.
I see where this is going.
Right. And here comes the conflict. Dick waits longer than that year, files his lawsuit back home in Texas, where at the time, the law said, nope, those time limits, invalid. You've got at least 2 years to sue.
So it's looking like Texas law stepping in to protect its own, right?
Seems straightforward, right? But here's where it gets really interesting. The link between this whole contract and Texas. It's thin. Like, super thin.
How so?
Well, the policy. Issued in Mexico, performed in Mexico, all of it. Even the reinsurance contracts, those agreements between insurance companies to share the risk, they were made in New York and Mexico.
All right.
None of the companies involved were even based in Texas.
So then, hold on, why are the Texas courts even getting involved if everything happened way outside of Texas?
Right, that's the head-scratcher. How do they even get jurisdiction?
Well, they got clever. The Texas courts, they said, aha, those reinsurance companies, they're licensed to do business right here in Texas.
Ah, I see.
So they used this legal maneuver called in rem jurisdiction, basically going after the assets those companies had in Texas.
So even though the contract itself had zero to do with Texas,
they found a way in.
They found a way in.
But that brings up the bigger issue, right? Just because they could assert jurisdiction, did they have the power to apply Texas law?
Yeah, is that even fair?
That's where the Due Process Clause of the 14th Amendment comes in. Did Texas overstep trying to force its laws onto a contract that had basically no connection to the state?
Man, I can already tell this case, it gets right to the core of some big legal questions about fairness, state power, all of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So what did the Supreme Court have to say about all this?
Well, they took one look at it and sided unanimously with the insurance companies.
Wow, no dissent at all.
Nope. Overturned the Texas court's decision completely. Basically said, Texas, you can't just change the terms of a contract that was made and performed entirely somewhere else, even if one of the people involved is from Texas.
Unanimous Supreme Court decision. That's got to send a pretty strong message.
I thought they were serious. The court really drove home the point that this contract had practically zero connection to Texas.
And so, wait, even though Dick was a Texan, that didn't give Texas the right to jump in and apply their laws?
Precisely. Now, you might be thinking, okay, that's interesting and all, but what does this all actually mean for someone like you who's interested in law?
Well, we all are, hopefully, tuning into the deep dive.
Right, right. Well, Home Insurance Co. v. Dick, this case, it set a precedent, you see, limited a state's power to just apply its laws to contracts made in other states or countries, especially if that contract has no real tie to that state.
Makes sense, right. I mean, today's world, business deals, contracts, they're crossing state lines all the time. Heck, crossing country borders.
All the time. And this case, it goes beyond just some simple business deal. This is a potential clash between state and federal law. It shows how tricky it can get when you try to apply the U.S. Constitution to agreements made outside the U.S.
Okay, now this is where it gets really interesting for me. We're taking this case from 1930, right? And applying those legal principles to situations that probably didn't even exist back then.
Exactly. And that's where we get into some even more fascinating aspects of this case. We've got this seemingly straightforward insurance claim, right? But it ends up having these ripple effects on how we think about jurisdiction, state power, all in this globalized world we live in.
All right, I'm hooked. Let's dive deeper into Justice Brandeis's reasoning and see how this all unfolded.
So one of the things Justice Brandeis really focused on, he emphasized that this Texas statute, it wasn't just some procedural rule.
About how to file a lawsuit.
Right, exactly. It wasn't just about the how-to. This thing was actually trying to create substantive rights. It was like they were trying to change the actual terms of the original contract, you see.
So even if Texas wanted to protect its citizens, they couldn't just use their law to rewrite a contract that was made in a whole other country.
You got it. And that's where this due process clause, it comes in big time. The Supreme Court, they said, using this tactic, like going after assets in Texas to enforce something that wasn't even valid under the Mexican contract, that's a due process violation, they said. It's almost like, you know, Texas was saying our version of fairness trumps everything else.
Yeah, that doesn't seem fair at all. Sounds like Texas was trying to change the rules of the game after the game was already over. You know what I mean?
Perfect analogy. And it really highlights why the Supreme Court in this case, they drew a line in the sand, made it crystal clear, states, they can't just project their laws onto agreements made in other countries. Heck, even other states, it applies, especially when those agreements have no real ties back to the state trying to flex its muscle.
Okay, I can see why this case probably sent some shockwaves through the legal world, but let's make this a bit more practical, you know, for our listeners out there. Let's say you're a lawyer, you're drafting a contract. What are the big lessons from home insurance COVID, Dick? What should you be thinking about so you don't run into these jurisdictional messes?
That's the million-dollar question for any lawyer who deals with contracts that cross borders. This case, it's like a cornerstone for what we call conflict of laws, basically figuring out which state's or country's law is going to apply when you've got a dispute involving different places. And the big takeaway from home insurance COVID, Dick, be super clear about which jurisdiction's law is going to govern the whole agreement. Like, think ahead, anticipate where those conflicts might pop up. A well-drafted governing law clause in your contract can prevent a lot of headaches down the line.
So you're saying by stating right up front which laws apply, you can stop one party from trying to pull a fast one and use their home state's law to their advantage, even if the contract has nothing to do with that state.
Exactly. That's it. It's all about setting those expectations right from the get-go. In this case, Home Insurance Covey Dick, it really hammered home this idea. States, they can't just swoop in and save their residents from a bad deal or some unfavorable contract terms. You can't just override agreements made somewhere else unless there's a strong connection to that state.
This is all super insightful, but I've got to ask, how does a case from almost a century ago about a tugboat sinking in Mexico, how does that apply to today's world? So much has changed, especially with the internet, digital contracts, all that. Could this case actually be relevant to these modern legal challenges?
Oh, that's a question that's keeping legal scholars up at night, believe me. The internet, it's blurred those geographical lines in ways that Justice Brandeis back in 1930 probably never even dreamed of. I mean, think about it. You could be sitting at your computer in California, you click agreed to a user agreement for a website that's based in, say, Iceland, and boom, you might be under Icelandic law.
Yeah, this whole jurisdiction thing, it gets complicated fast. Are you saying that this old case about a tugboat fire, it could actually impact how we think about online contracts, e-commerce, all that today?
Absolutely. The core principle in Home Insurance Covey Dick, it's more relevant than ever. States can't overreach. They can't impose their laws on agreements that have no real connection to them. It makes you think, how do we apply that to the internet? We're in uncharted territory, legally speaking.
This is where it gets really exciting. It's like taking these fundamental legal principles, these bedrock ideas, forged in a completely different time and trying to apply them to this world that's changing so fast, technologically speaking.
Fascinating challenge, a crucial one too. This case, its implications, they go way beyond tugboats and insurance claims. It raises questions about fairness, accountability, and the limits of state power in this world where everything's so interconnected.
This case, it's like a legal time capsule that keeps offering us new insights as the world around it changes.
It really does, and it makes you wonder, how are courts going to interpret and apply these ideas as technology keeps reshaping our world and the legal landscape?
So it sounds like Home Insurance Covey Dick, it's thrown a real wrench into things, you know, as the legal system tries to keep up with technology.
Oh, absolutely. This case, it just keeps on giving, sparking debate, raising new questions as the world changes around it.
Yeah, and that's what makes law so fascinating, right? These core principles like due process, they're constantly being tested, reinterpreted, as we face new challenges.
It really is, and it really is fascinating to see how a case from almost 100 years ago is still so relevant today.
It's not fading into obscurity, that's for sure.
Nope, not at all.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into Home Insurance Covey Dick, what's the one big takeaway you want our listeners to walk away with?
I think the biggest thing to remember is that due process, it's not just some abstract idea, you know, it has real world consequences, especially when we're talking about contracts and agreements.
Right, like actual impact.
Exactly. It sets limits on what states can do. It makes sure they can't overreach, can't interfere with agreements that have no real connection to them. And that principle in today's world, more important than ever.
It's a good reminder that these agreements, they matter. And where they're made, where they're supposed to happen, that matters too.
It all matters.
For those of us who aren't, you know, legal scholars or whatever, it's just a fascinating example of how a case from 1930 about a tugboat sinking in Mexico can still impact how we think about the law today.
It's pretty wild when you think about it.
It really is. Well, that brings us to the end of this deep dive. A huge thanks to our expert for breaking down this complex case, making it so easy to understand.
It was my pleasure.
And to our listeners, keep those legal minds sharp. You know, who knows, maybe you'll be the one to figure out how home insurance COVID Dick shapes the future of law in this whole digital age.
The future is full of possibilities.
It really is. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, keep learning.